Hello, and welcome to the SearchCloudProvider.com podcast, Storage Hypervisors, a case study with host.net. I'm Jessica Scarpati, site editor of SearchCloudProvider.com, and it's great to have you with us. I'm joined today by Jeffrey Slapp, Vice President of Virtualization Services at host.net, a network, cloud, and managed services provider based in Boca Raton, Florida. Also with me is George Texera, CEO of DataCore Software, a storage virtualization vendor, probably best known for its storage hypervisor, SAN Symphony V. Hey, Jeff. Hey, George. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Jessica.
Good afternoon.
So before we dive into host.net's specific deployment, George, I was hoping you could give us a little crash course on the concept of a storage hypervisor. What does it mean? What does it do? How is it different? And why is it suited for cloud provider environments?
Sure. The storage hypervisor really has come from the work that we started off in storage virtualization. And for cloud providers, the big thing, of course, is how they can use their resources and get the most out of it. The other big thing about cloud providers is how they can reduce their costs and really, take software to really make the difference. One of the concepts that has really made a big difference for cloud providers has been the move to hypervisors, and those are the type of things we've seen from VMware and Microsoft Hyper-V, where in the server world, they've given a huge productivity advantage to cloud providers. What they allow them to do is to take many different server or workloads and place them on a lesser number of servers. So you get a great amount of consolidation, much better use of the resources. In the same way, what DataCore has done is created the concept of a storage hypervisor. And what we really do is allow all of the storage to be interchangeable and from any type of vendor to be used to provide storage or disk capacity for the use of the cloud provider. So the same way as VMware and Microsoft Hyper-V have allowed cloud providers to, frankly, intermix whether it's an Intel, an HP, a Dell, or an IBM server, what DataCore does is allow any storage to be purchased or used by these cloud providers. So it really brings the cost very low. In addition to that, a storage hypervisor makes the use of capacity, the disk capacity, much more efficient. It adds performance through caching techniques. It provides a layer of data protection to allow fault tolerance so that the storage doesn't go down and these applications stay up. And it gives some very incredible powers like auto-tiering, or automated storage tiering, where the cloud providers can provide the more expensive storage for very storage-intensive applications or use much lower-cost storage for less critical applications. That's a quick overview, Jessica.
Great. Thanks so much, George. So, Jeff, just to start, could you give us a little background about host.net's path to becoming a cloud provider and what kind of cloud services you guys offer in the market?
Sure. Great question. In fact, the road that host.net took originally was actually one a conversation that host.net had with the company that I had previously owned, Fairway Consulting Group down here in South Florida. And we were a consultancy, but we were also a service provider in the sense that we were doing this sort of thing, which is to say that, you know, virtual hosting wasn't called cloud back when we were doing it. But we had this type of service that, of course, very, very quickly was starting to catch on in the industry as far as a very, very efficient, highly available service that could be brought to the data centers, like a host.net, and then, of course, sliced up and divvied up from a resource perspective and sold out to various customers based on their business needs. So back in 2008, 2009, my previous company was approached by host.net, and there was really two options on the table. It was, you go ahead and build this for us, and we implement it internally and support it internally, or we just simply acquire the entire company, and we roll everything that you have into the infrastructure, as well as build the next generation platform, which is actually what we're here to talk about today. So it was quite an interesting turn of events, and of course, you know, now I can say very simply that it was the acquisition that occurred. Host.net acquired all of our resources, all of our human resources, all of our hardware resources, software resources, and so on. And then, of course, very, very quickly transitioned to the next generation platform. And that has been extremely successful. And we can talk about some of the metrics, if time allots, for what we've seen over since the time that we've implemented this production platform. We've had, as of today, we just exceeded 900 days of 100% non-interrupted uptime for the platform. So that certainly goes, you know, the majority of that credit, of course, goes to DataCore and the services that that software provides our infrastructure and, of course, our customers, because the high availability is really the name of the game. And there's five, you know, there's five major categories when looking at a storage vendor. Of course, flexibility, we touched on that already, affordability, performance, scalability, and, of course, high availability. And we had to have all of those because we are a very specific type of cloud provider. In fact, we tend not to use the word cloud so much because there's so many different definitions and versions of what that means out in the industry. But what we refer to ourselves as more specifically is a virtual private data center, and one that delivers life-critical application high availability. So if these services are down, people are not able to get medical records, for an example. So these are you know, highly, highly mission-critical types of services that we provide on this platform, and we could not have not only not built the platform, but we certainly wouldn't have been able to achieve the uptime that we've been able to achieve without DataCore. It's a pinnacle piece in everything that we do here.
Ah, okay. So just to back up a little bit, what kind of challenges were you having with your storage environment relative to the cloud services or virtual data center prior to deploying DataCore?
Well, to be honest with you, we've never had an environment without DataCore, but I've worked in many data centers before the acquisition. That was part of our primary task as a company, was to roll out services for customers. And before DataCore, it's very simple. Difficulty in scaling, extremely expensive. And that expense, of course, not only comes from just the sheer cost of the hardware involved, but also the lack of efficiency. The efficiency that didn't exist prior to putting in a storage virtualization hypervisor such as DataCore. So that was you know, very, very key differentiator between an environment with DataCore and one without. So you would have, you know, all sorts of other collateral types of situations occur where, for instance, migrations of environments from, of course, older platforms to newer platforms becomes very risky, where DataCore makes that very simple. And again, what we're seeing today, there's even more of a need now to have DataCore, even after the the advent of storage hypervisor virtualization in the data center. Now what we're seeing is we're having this tug of war, if you will, between solid state technology being very, very fast, but being traditionally very expensive, and not having the capacities to be able to address the demands of these customers that are not only coming now in to ask us for a couple hundred gigs like they used to in the past, a couple hundred gigabytes of storage. Now they're asking for multi-tens of terabytes at a time. So the problem that's posed by this issue, which of course is not a business problem, it's a great problem to have in business, right, when someone's asking you for that much storage, but technologically becomes a problem when you have to address that much storage and you have to do it fast. That's the issue, because typically you have larger capacities generally means slower access to that capacity. Well, DataCore, of course, is what bridges that gap completely through what George had already mentioned, through the auto-tiering capabilities and the caching capabilities that DataCore brings to the table. We now have full control of that that middle piece, that caching piece. We can now add as much as we need and do it economically and do it smart and do it efficiently and keep that in line with the growth of the raw capacity that ultimately is what's storing the data, the tens and hundreds of terabytes of data that we deal with on a day-to-day basis. That back-end storage is typically not going to be fast, and that's where that caching and auto-tiering capability comes in. So that kind of gives you a compare and contrast from the days before data core versus where we're at today.
Ah. So before you mentioned, when you were talking about the 900 days of uninterrupted uptime that you guys have had, and you said data core contribute to that heavily. So what exactly about the platform, enables you to achieve that?
Well, one piece that's always been part of DataCore's arsenal has been, of course, high availability and the ability to do synchronous mirroring. Very, very key. In fact, when I was tasked with building this architecture, we had to have a technology in place that allowed us to not only provide component-level redundancy, which, again, goes without saying, really. I mean, from a service provider's perspective, it's almost suicidal and certainly a severe injustice to customers if you tout a highly available platform and actually don't provide that truly on the back end in the technology side. So what we said was, because of the types of clients that we deal with, the financial sector, the government sector, healthcare sector, and so on, that there is no room for error. I mean, we're dealing, again, with such capacities that recovering 10 terabytes of data is not something that you just, put a couple keystrokes in and sit back and watch it go. You're probably looking at days, even weeks of recovery time. So there cannot be even the slightest possibility, in a realistic sense, of having any sort of failure occur against that data. That would be catastrophic, not only for us as a service provider, of course, but more importantly for the customer. And when you break it all down in this virtual world that we live in, companies are no longer, defined by their, the hard, information technology assets, right? The servers and all the disks themselves. It comes right down to it. The company is defined by its intellectual property, and that intellectual property is in amazing quantity on these disk systems that we're talking about. So the utmost care and resiliency has to be built into that platform. So that's where DataCore comes in for us. Not only do we have component level redundancy, which again goes without saying, or at least it should. Now what we do is we bring data level redundancy. And now we can have not only all the components working together, and if a component fails, another component will automatically take over seamlessly, but now we can technically lose up to 50% of our entire storage platform. And our customers don't even know that it happened because we have two copies of the data, one on one side, one on the other. We've got all the component level redundancy, top to bottom throughout the architecture, and it's what we refer to as a no single point of failure architecture. And that's, of course, purposely done that way because, again, we're targeting a very, very sensitive market segment, one that does not allow for outages, one that does not allow for downtime in any sense, or bad things can potentially happen, like I said, medical record access and the like. That would be catastrophic. So that is the reason why we built the platform with DataCore. In this manner, and of course, we just continue to take advantage of all the features that DataCore continues to bring to the table. Auto tiering is a new feature for us in our DataCore set of services that we have here at Host.net, and DataCore just continues to push the envelope and lead the storage industry in that respect. So,
what would you say to someone who, a peer maybe, who's looking at DataCore, but they think, with storage, I have to be really conservative. I'm used to the big box vendors. What kind of advice would you give them or feedback?
Sure, yeah, and I've been there. I know where that thinking comes from, certainly. And what I'd say is, I would say that it's no longer necessary, and it really hasn't been for some time. I mean, DataCore has been around for well over a decade now, 12, 13, 14 years, if I'm not mistaken. And the idea now of having to necessarily go out and purchase, you know, from the big guys, if you want to call it quote unquote big guys in the storage industry, which typically, for the most part, comes with larger price tags, is no longer entirely necessary because you get all of the enterprise features that you really could ever need in the software package that DataCore provides through the storage hypervisor. And then everything behind that hypervisor can now take advantage of those features. And it doesn't matter whether it's fiber channel-based storage, whether it's direct attached storage, whether it's iSCSI storage, or all three at the same time. And not to mention, now I can go ahead and take storage from any one of those quote-unquote big vendors and make them all work together as a single unit or as separate units, as tiers, however you want to lay it out. That's you know, perfectly fine with regards to the architecture. So now you have unprecedented flexibility. Now you can go ahead and buy the technology that's not, you know, what you need plus 10,000 other things that you don't need. Now you buy the technology that fits exactly what you need and save the money. And now you get a level of efficiency through the thin provisioning component, which again is a long time, you know, component of DataCore software. The thin provisioning now gives you access to storage that you wouldn't have otherwise had access to, just because of the efficiency losses that are typically present in non-thin provision storage systems, which is to say anything that's not, you know, virtualized storage. So, which, you know, again, the idea of virtualized storage is, I would say, somewhat new in the whole scheme of the storage, you know, industry, if you go back in history and back in time, but absolutely critical, though. So you get the efficiency, you get the performance of the software, the accelerating caching performance of the software, and you get the best of both worlds. And it's very affordable and extremely scalable. In fact, in our world, it's unlimited scalability for the types of applications that we use. We're able to layer massive amounts of storage for our customers on demand. And that's the other thing I'd like to also mention. As a service provider, we don't have to go out and buy 100 terabytes of storage day one. Maybe we only buy 10 or 20 terabytes of storage. And as our customer demand grows, we grow. And it just adds on seamlessly with no interruption, no downtime, which is, of course, what our customers are ultimately paying for.
Oh, nice. We're glad to hear it's working out for you. Unfortunately, that's all the time that we have. George, Jeff, thank you so much both for joining us today.
Thank you.
And thanks, everyone, for tuning in. And be sure to visit searchcloudprovider.com for more cloud provider news, tips, resources, or send us an email at editor@searchcloudprovider.com. Thanks again.